this morning, if you would, we're going to be in the book of Joshua. If you turn to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be in chapter 1 in just a little bit, but we'll be mainly in chapter 3, but turn to chapter 1 initially. And what I want to speak about this morning is taking that next step of faith, taking that step of faith. A.W. Tozer, he said this, he said, God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we only plan the things we can do by ourselves. And that verse spoke to me as God was working in my heart about getting out of the military and going in, not that verse, but that quote, getting out of the military and going into the ministry. So much of my life in the military, everything was planned out. I knew ahead of time exactly what I was going to do. And you just get conditioned like that in the military where you just know that next step. And as God was working in my heart about ministry, I was seeing how God was working in my life about in the area of faith and taking that next step. And we know as Christians, faith is critical in our relationship with God. Because without faith, we cannot please God. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we as unbelievers, as people who are lost and do not know a Savior, it takes faith in order to trust the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago when He died for us. And we read from the Scriptures that if we call upon His name and believe upon His death, burial, and resurrection, that we can be saved. And that's a matter of faith. And as we, as Christians, continue to walk in our Christian life, each step is a matter of faith. And so often as Christians and in our Christian life, I think sometimes we get to points where God is calling us to take that next step of faith, and we fear the obstacle that's in front of us. We see an obstacle, we fear failure, we fear the difficulty of that next step. And often it's much easier to rely on our own strength and just stay in the status quo and rely on our strengths and our abilities and our resources, and we miss out on seeing what God can do and then through our lives as He calls us and as we put our faith in God and His Word as He guides and directs us in our lives. And we miss out on many opportunities to see God do amazing and wonderful things in our lives. And in our text here in chapter 1 of Joshua, we're going to read here about how God had taken them to a point where they needed to look to God in order to get over to the promised land. God had promised them the promised land. He had promised them to go over the Jordan and go into that promised land. And that land was for them. But they had to exercise faith in God in order to get across. And so, in Joshua chapter 1, let's go ahead and read here, and we're going to then jump over to 3. But in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, verse 2, the Bible says this. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. So at this point, we know that Moses had taken the nation of Israel out of Egypt. He went in there by faith, trusting God, and brought them out, and God gave them great victories. And at this point in Scriptures, in the book of Joshua, Moses has passed on, and Joshua is now coming on the scene, and he's taking the leadership of this army and of these people, God's people. And this is God's command and direction. He's telling Moses or Joshua to go, and he's saying, go into this land which I have promised you. And the thing I like about Joshua is he's a man of action. We know as we read through here, we see that in chapter 2, he sends out the spies to go check out the land, and it was quick. God spoke and he obeyed and he went. And the spies went out and checked out the land and they came back. Turn to Joshua chapter 2, verse 24. And the Bible says, and they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So they got a good report back that this land that God had promised to us is free for us to go in. And again, Joshua is a man of action and he moves on it. Look in chapter 3, verse 5. And we'll read through here. The Bible says, "And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." And then move down to verse 12. "Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zaretan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the accounts that have been given to us from your people back in the Old Testament. And we ask, Lord, now as we look into this passage of Scripture, that you would speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, you'd help me. Give me clarity of thought. I pray your word would just minister to each person here this morning. We invite you and ask, Lord, for you to do a work in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that Joshua was given a task. He was given a command, and he moved right away. And God said, "This is what I want you to do." And obviously, when God speaks, it takes faith, because you have to believe what God tells you he's going to do, and then to do it. And we see right away, he went and sent out the spies, and then he commanded the people to go to the Jordan. And you see right away, you get to the edge of the Jordan, and there's an obstacle. There's a difficulty that shows itself. And the nation of Israel and Joshua, they have a decision to make. Just like we do when God calls us to do something. So often, He'll call us to do something, and He's not just going to blaze the trail for us, and it's always going to be easy. The path isn't always going to be smooth. There's always going to be that obstacle, and that is true for the nation of Israel here. And so they get to the Jordan, and they know the promised land is on the other side. So they have to decide, are we going to trust God? Or are we going to let this obstacle, let this difficulty cause us to draw back? And the Bible is clear about what God thinks about when He calls us to do something. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith." God wants us to live by faith. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." We as believers must realize how much God puts on us in the area of faith, and how critical it is in our relationship with God that we exercise faith in God. And as I said in the introduction, we like to be in the comfort zone. We like to accomplish the things that we know we can accomplish. And so often we don't want to look and see, God has called me to do this. This looks difficult. This looks hard. But God has called me to do this, and He's going to give me the ability to do it. And God promises that faithful is He that calleth you, and He'll be able to do it. It says in the book of Thessalonians that God will give us the ability when He calls us to do something. And no doubt here, as we've been in this missions conference all week, and we've heard preaching, and we've heard testimonies, and we saw that video, that no doubt God is stirring in the hearts of His people. It stirs my heart to see the need out there for the gospel. Just in this area, just in America, worldwide, and in the Middle East, it ought to get a grip on our heart. And we ought to say, God, what can I do? And boy, I love these these quotes up here on the wall here. All are not called to be missionaries, but all must struggle with the possibility. And that ought to be the heart of every Christian, that we at least say, what is my part in it? And God will call people. And I'm praying that God would call more people into the ministry and to take the gospel into these different areas. And what I want to look at here this morning is what was it that allowed the nation of Israel to receive God's blessing? Because we saw what happened. They got to the Jordan. They trusted God and God opened the door. What was it that they did? Or what was their heart in this? What was Joshua's heart in this as they trusted God by faith? Well, the first thing I want to look at is in verse 5 that we see. Verse 5 says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." God is saying, sanctify yourself. That means to be consecrated. That means to be set apart. That means to be holy. And God says, He will do wonders when we sanctify ourselves. He wants His people to be sanctified, set apart, holy before He's going to do anything, before He's going to work in your life. So what does that mean to us today? Well, the word sanctify, like I said, means set apart, holy. A person cannot be sanctified or consecrated in and of themselves. We don't do it by the external means. We don't make ourselves holy. And that's the first thing we need to know. The first thing we need to know that if you're going to be sanctified before God is going to do anything in your life, you must be set apart in the area of salvation. And so many times we often think it's a matter of the external, about how can I please God by doing good works? Or how can I please God by being in church? And so many religions and so many churches teach this work-based salvation. That is not how we sanctify ourselves. That's how we set apart ourselves. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. It's not by the things we do, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible is clear. We don't sanctify ourselves by good works. The only way a person is sanctified is by realizing that they are a sinner, for all sin and come short of the glory of God. This is where it starts. There's none righteous, no, not one. A person must realize that they're a sinner, and wherefore by one man sin entered the earth, and death by sin, and so death hath passed on to all men. We receive our sin nature from our parents, and we are all born sinners. No one is born a Christian, and a person must first realize that they are a sinner, and that their sin, for the wages of sin, is death, separation from God forever and eternity. For me, that happened in South Korea. I went to a church, and a pastor got up and preached the gospel. And he said, if you lie to your mom, that's enough for you to go to hell. And God, the conviction of the Holy Spirit was on me. And I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was in trouble, and I knew my sin would be judged. And a person has a choice at that point. And that preacher, when he spoke, he was preaching, he said, for the wages of sin is death. But he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God commended His love toward us in that. While we were yet sinners, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ shed His blood for me and you. And a person must call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. That's what it is. To ask for forgiveness. To turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. And a person can be born again and can be saved. The Holy Spirit of God comes and lives inside of them. And the person, when they make that decision, they will be saved. They will be, when they pass from this earth, will spend eternity with God. But it first starts with the decision. And if God is going to do anything in your life, if you're going to even enter in that relationship where you walk by faith, it starts with salvation and being sanctified first in the area of salvation. And then as you're born again and the Holy Spirit lives inside you, now you live by faith. Now you walk with God and you do good works. And that's when God changes us. But so often we think we want to change ourselves. That's not how it works. God saves us and now we do the good works and we set ourselves apart unto God and to be sanctified. And that's what it means to be a New Testament, born again, Bible-believing Christian. So in the area of sanctification. And then as you're a believer, it's just being surrendered and saying, God, take my life and my life is yours. You've set yourself apart unto God. You're saved. Now you're saying, God, that's the second most important thing to do, is to say, Lord, take my life. I'm surrendered to you. Lead and guide me in whatever area you see fit. And that's how the Lord had worked in our life. And I encourage, if God is stirring in your heart, God is moving in your heart, just surrender and say, God, take my life. And He'll direct you from there. But that ought to be the heart of every believer. That's the first step. The second thing that we see in this passage, as they go down and we see here, the thing of that the nation of Israel did was, not only did they hear the call of God, God said, go, and they got to the river. God made it clear to them that they needed to take that step of faith. See, so often, well, let me read here in the passage. It says in verse 13, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over the Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark would come down onto the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan overfloweth all the banks all the time of the harvest, the water stood up, it says in verse 16. But for us, if we're going to see God work in our life, if we're going to walk by faith, we need to take that step of faith. Because here, what you have here is, you had the priest get to the river, and the river's overflowing. And God gave specific instructions to him that said, and that when the feet of the priest step into that river, that the waters will be cut off and they'll walk across dry ground. This is complete dependence upon God. Because imagine that you're sitting there and you have this river and you're thinking, how are we going to get across? And I'm sure there's some people there that maybe we're doubting and we're like, this is not going to happen. We're not going to get across this river. But God, if we pay attention to God's word and follow God's word and what God says, He says, we put your feet in there, I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of the rest and I'll part that river. They had clear instructions. All they had to do was take that step of faith and obey. And so often in our Christian life, that's how it is. God will call us to do something. God will work in our heart. And we'll look at it in our own mind, in our own reason, and we'll look and say, that looks difficult. I can't do that. I can't increase in faith promise. Or God's stirring in my heart. How am I going to get to the mission field? What is that next step? The next step is taking that step of faith and believing that what God has called you to do, He'll do. See, our faith isn't just God is doing this and Lord, just do it for me. Yeah, we do that. We do pray. But our faith is action. We're moving. We're taking steps as God calls us and directs us. And they had to take that step of faith. And for me, when God was working in my life about I'm in the military and I just got promoted, made warrant officer. And I'm thinking, man, I got it great. This is great. I'll do 10 more years. I'll make it to 30. And if you know anything about warrant officers in the Navy or the Coast Guard, you're like, man, I got it made. Now all I can do is just sit around and drink coffee and no one even talks to me. I don't even have to supervise anyone. This is wonderful. And I'm like, wow, this is a good thing. But when I got to Philadelphia, Lord was just taking that desire from me to be in the military. And I knew clearly that God was calling me, went on a mission trip, stateside mission trip, into the ministry. I came home after that mission trip, that trip doing ministry, and I counseled with my pastor. And I told him what God was doing in my life. And as soon as this was my next step, and this is how I think a lot, and the Lord is working it out of me, I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? Because I don't even know where God is calling me. I'm not even sure what God wants me to do. And how am I going to take care of my family? So I went home, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, now, how's this money going to work out? And how am I going to... And so I'm reasoning all of this through. Knowing that back when I was doing that stateside mission trip, that God was calling me, but I wanted to figure it out before I took that next step, which was putting in my letter and saying, I'm done with the Coast Guard and I'm moving on to the ministry. Because I'm just sitting there thinking, what's my dad going to think? You know, he loved the fact that I was in the military. And he's like, what are you doing? You're going to... But anyhow, that's what I'm thinking. So I'm reasoning this out. So I'm trying to figure out. I quickly realized, and I'm not too slow of a learner, but it only took me about a week to figure out that God wanted me to put that letter in before He was going to show me the next step. And He wanted to see that step of faith that I'm ready to cash it in and say, yes, this is what God has called me to do and take that step of faith. And He said, when you take that step, I'll be there. And so I put the letter in, and not knowing where God was going to call us or what the next step was, but just trusting in God and who He is, that if He's calling me and He's the creator of the universe and He is He can move mountains and he can stop rivers and he can save a soul. He can do anything he wants. I'm going with him. And so I put that in, and then we just started praying and saying, God, now what? Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? And a few weeks went by and we started praying, and God laid Alaska on our heart. And then we planned a survey trip and we went up there and spent a week in Kodiak, spent a week in Homer, and in Homer, God confirmed that that's where he'd have us to go. And there had been a guy that had been praying for a man to come up and replace him. And I say all this, that you don't always know what the future is. You don't know what God is going to be doing in your life, but God does. And what he calls us to do is simply to walk with him and to trust him by faith. And God may be speaking to you this week about something. I don't know if it's increased faith promise, or it's to go into ministry, or to teach a Sunday school, or to speak to your neighbor about Christ. But take that step of faith. Open your mouth. Whatever it is, and take that step of faith, trusting in God. That's what the nation of Israel did there. God had called them, and they had to take that step. And they stepped. And sure enough, the rivers cut off, and there was dry ground, and they walked across. And that's so key for us to understand that as Christians, that that is our Christian life. Steps of faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You won't always know what the end is, but God does. Just trust him. The next thing that we see here is that not only about taking that next step of faith, but we see here a couple promises that God gave them as they took that step of faith. And these are good. These are very good promises for us today. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. When God commanded him, he said, Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Listen, when God calls us to do something, and God wants us to take those steps of faith, he's going to be there with us. And that's priceless, to know that we have God on our side. And if God is on our side, I mean, who's going to come against us? We have nothing to fear. We don't have to worry about the funds not being there. We don't have to worry about our health. We don't have to worry. Why? Because God is in control. And everything that God does in our life is for our good. And God will work all things out for his good. Does that mean the road's always going to be smooth? Not at all. God tries us. God tests us. I read that this morning in my devotion. God does. He tests us. He tests our faith. But it's for our own good. And God may be calling you to do something. I don't know what it may be. But know this, that the God of heaven and earth, the God who holds everything in his hands, the God who has endless amount of funds, the God who, as we heard yesterday in that testimony from that Christian wife in the Middle East, saying that God is controller over the authorities as they're preaching the gospel in the Middle East. And she has confidence to go out there and hold those services, knowing that God is in control of the authorities, whether they come and stop them or not. That's the God we serve. And whatever God is working in your life, that is the God you serve. And God will be with you. And as we have been given the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, he gives us that promise that he'll be with us when we go. And that is a precious promise that I think we need to internalize every day, as we seek God's will for our life, even just simply going to Starbucks and handing a tract to the person across the counter, saying, "God is with me. God, this is what God has commanded us to do." And I encourage you to really internalize that promise each and every day. So why all this? Why does God work through man? Why does God take a people and set them apart and do all these miracles? And why does God take us in the New Testament age and in the church age? Why does he come and indwell us and use us to accomplish his purpose on this earth? Because we know the Bible is clear what it says about man and why. Well, let me kind of back up here. Turn to chapter 4 of Joshua, verse 23. And thinking about that why question, why does he use us? Why does He use a small nation like the nation of Israel in the Old Testament? Why does He use us Christians to accomplish His will? And it's really the theme of this missions conference. Verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which He dried up from before us, until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. God used a small nation like the nation of Israel to accomplish mighty works. He uses man, which the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring not things that are." And go to verse 31. "That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." God uses us for His glory. God used the nation of Israel to open up, to walk across that Jordan and see that miracle, so that all the earth will know the Lord thy God. And that's why God uses us. But it takes us by faith, trusting and walking with the Lord. And when we think back to all the people of the past, we think back to Abraham, this old man that God called out and was going to create a great nation. He wasn't much. When we think about Jacob and his failures as a liar and that he deceived, we think of Gideon, when God came to him, he was afraid. We think about David, out of all the brothers to be the king of the Israel, he had 10 brothers, and he was the one that was forgotten about, but he became the king. We think about Elijah and the fear that he went through and the depression and at times suicidal. We think about Peter denying Christ. All these people, we think they had flaws, but God worked in and through them mightily. Why? Because they got to that point where they realized it wasn't about them and about their strengths and weaknesses, but it was about the God that they served. And He was mighty and He could do anything through them. So what's our excuse? What's our excuse as we look at the Great Commission and we look at the work ahead of us? There is no excuse. All God is requiring from us is one to be saved, to know Christ as our Savior. Know that if you die today, that you would be in heaven with Him. If you took your last breath, that you have assurance that you would be in heaven with God. It starts with salvation. And then next, it starts with just being surrendered and saying, "God, take my life. Use it for your glory." And then simply walking by faith, trusting in God as He calls us, taking those steps of faith and trusting in the God, because without faith, we can't please God without faith. And then knowing that God will be with us wherever we go and take the gospel message. We're on the winning side. Walk with God. Trust Him. Take those steps of faith, because you don't want to get to that point in your Christian life where you just stop. Continue to grow and continue to walk and trust in the Lord thy God.